Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for the doctor. You can join in at michaelsavage.com to see all the stories we're talking about. And you can call in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. I got to talk to you about Barbara Walters. She's got her big special going on, but she was on Piers Morgan last night, and she said some interesting things about President Obama, and one of her special people wants you to have no right to say a certain word. We'll hear what it is. We'll get you all that. In fact, it's kind of a theme here at the beginning is more and more people want to shut you up and want to make words illegal and ideas illegal and opinions illegal. Then we're going to get into the budget. Oh, yeah, passed the Senate. It's done. It passed the House, passed the Senate. It's done. And it was done in part on the back of the military and even on the back of disabled military men and women on their pensions. That's great. Then we'll get you into what's going on with the illegal alien situation. Confirmed now, non-citizens voted in the last election in Ohio. I'm sure they voted in more places than that. And yes, you're being sued by illegal aliens right now in the courts. Wow. All that coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Michael Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. So I want to start with this Barbara Walters thing. We're going to play the audio here in just a second. She was on with Piers Morgan on his show on Tuesday night, and they were talking about all kinds of stuff in her special and why she didn't have Obama on as part of the special. She said, I had them on last time. I'm not going to have them on every year. And then Piers Morgan asked her, you have interviewed every president of my lifetime. I'm sure that made her feel young. You've interviewed every president of my lifetime. Why is Obama facing so much opposition now? Why is he struggling so much to really fulfill the great flame of ambition and excitement that he was elected on originally in 2009? Here's cut three from Barbara Walters.
He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. And the whole Obamacare, or whatever you want to call that, Affordable Health Act, it just hasn't worked for him, and he stumbled around on it.
Did you hear that? He made so many promises. We thought he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. Now, when I first read this, before I watched the video, I'm like, oh, she's kidding. Let's not make too big a... She's just kidding around. It's a little joke. And, of course, there's always a little truth in a joke. But I watch this. You go watch this. She's not kidding. Greg, come on. She doesn't really think it's the Messiah. Well, okay. I will grant you, I don't think she really believes. From what I understand, Barbara Walters is Jewish, right? When I went to a Passover supper at one of my Jewish friends' house, they actually have a part during the Passover. They leave an empty chair for the Messiah. The one I went to, they actually opened the door for the Messiah in case the Messiah came. I don't think she really believes the Messiah is going to walk in and sit down at her table during Passover, and it will be Barack Obama, all right? I'll grant you that. But not far away, not far away at all. This tells you really almost he was almost going to be our next Messiah. You know, this shows you how she really thinks, and how most of the people in her inner circle really think. This is how most of the mainstream media, I believe, really thinks about President Barack Obama. They saw him as the next great hope, the next great thing. They saw him personifying all of their ideological ambitions wrapped up into one, and he was the guy that could get it done. They saw him as this blank slate, this tabula rasa that they could write what they wanted on. Because he let them think that. He was awesome in his speeches of really hitting every angle from every side to make you believe that he was whatever you wanted him to be. Now, if you actually paid attention, you knew this was who he was. This is like, remember the former coach of Minnesota Viking, Denny Green? Remember that game when he went to the press conference after they got beat, and it was a horrible game. They had it won, and they let him come back and beat him. He goes,
They were who they thought they were. You want to crown them champs? Crown them. They were who they thought they were. Well, Obama is who we thought he was because we paid attention. Mainstream media? Oh, he's going to be this great. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to roll in. He's going to get everybody to work together. He's going to make America better than it ever was before. No, his plan was to fundamentally transform America. And the thing is, a lot of the people in the mainstream media want it fundamentally transformed into what he wants. At best, a socialist democracy like Europe. At worst, even further down the slippery slope of socialism. But I don't know. I thought he was going to be the Messiah or whatever. It just hasn't worked for him. See, people are very disappointed because they expected more. I mean, so we got one news commentator who's ready for the thrills to go up his leg. We've got one news commentator who says he's basically the coming of the next Messiah. And by the way, that's not the only person in the mainstream media who has said that in the past. And you can't figure out why you're not getting the kind of fair and balanced reporting that you should be getting from our journalism departments. You can't figure out why they didn't really vet this guy. You can't figure out why it took PolitiFact, who gave Obama the Lie of the Year award. Hey, Obama finally earned one of the awards he got. You're in this one. You know, you can't figure out why it took PolitiFact 4 years to finally call it a lie. Remember, PolitiFact had rated that before. If you want your doctor, you can keep it. If you want your insurance, you can keep it. They'd rated that before as true. And the people who said it wasn't, Mitt Romney, who said that 10 million people would lose their insurance under Obamacare, they rated that as false. Now, all of a sudden, they rate it as true. When people like me, Dr. Savage, and other conservatives were telling you from day one, that is a lie. We were the ones who were called liars by your mainstream media. We were the ones who were called crazy. And everything people like me and Dr. Savage have said on talk radio about that Obamacare has turned out to be true. Everything. But we're the liars. So then we get into Barbara Waters explaining really why his numbers are going down. Because his numbers are down all over the place. With liberals, with Hispanics, with women. He's got lower ratings now than George W. Bush did at this time. And George W. Bush had the Iraq War dragging him down. This guy has lower numbers than Nixon did. And yet, why? Why is this happening, Barbara? Cut four, please.
People feel very disappointed because they expected more. It's very difficult when the expectations for you are very high.
Yes.
You're almost better off when they're low and then they rise and rise. His were
right.
Very high and they've dropped. But, you know, you still have several years to go.
Right. Right. See, it was just the high expectations. Wait a second. Expectations were the problem? No, Barbara. What he's done is the problem. That's the problem. Look at the economy. We're in a recovery still. Worst recovery in the modern era from a real recession. Look at Obamacare and what's going on with that. We don't need to go over all that again. You know how bad that is. Look at the power grab from this president and not fulfilling his oath of office to uphold the Constitution. You want some examples? How about going around the Constitution and writing his own so-called Dream Act for illegal aliens? That in itself is a violation of the law. Secretary of State Chris Kobach in Kansas is spearheading the case where ICE officers are suing the government over that, and they're winning. How about Libya, where he took our Air Force into military combat and never got permission from Congress, ever? How about what he's done with the Obamacare law in waiving it and changing it in this way and that way without ever going back to Congress? Illegal. Unconstitutional. How about recess appointments he did? When the Senate wasn't in recess, he declared it was in recess. Again, there's a man who is affected by the National Labor Relations Board's appointments. He's suing. He's won in saying that was wrong and unconstitutional. He's supposed to uphold the laws of the land. His administration would not defend the federal law, the Defense of Marriage Act, in court. The Republicans had to do it. The drug laws that are the law of the land for minimum mandatory sentences. He has had his attorney general tell federal prosecutors not to give all the evidence to court to avoid minimum mandatory sentences for those crack sentences. That's illegal. Yeah, on and on and on I can go with this stuff. Then you look at Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS, NSA. You look at all the lies he's told you. And Barbara says, well, it was because the expectations were too high. Yeah, that was the problem. Oh, but don't worry. What does he have, 3 years left, Piers? And you know, there'll be a lot of changes, one thinks, in that time. Yeah. Unfortunately, in the next 3 years, it's only going to get worse. if he gets his way. This is what you're getting from your mainstream media. And in fact, Politico has a bit out today where they did an interview. Jake Tapper, Kelly O'Donnell, Mark Leibovich, Peter Baker, all reporters who admitted, yes, the media leans left. Hey, they're admitting it now. They're not changing, but they're admitting it now. That's a step. They used to say, no. Jake Tapper really had the good point here. Jake Tapper admitted what we've been saying for years. He said, look, Republicans are products of their environment. So you go to an Ivy League school, you live in a big city, you work in a newsroom that's leaned left for decades, your friends, neighbors, colleagues are pretty much the same way, all leaning left, all living and growing up in the same culture that you have, working in the same places you have, an editorial board that's all left-wingers. What do you expect? Exactly. That's what we've been saying that you guys have been denying. You guys are in your own little bubble. It's like when people go, boy, I don't understand how George W. Bush got elected. No one I know voted for him. Well, yeah. You live in New York City and you sit around sipping tea and crumpets. What do you You can't sip a crumpet, Greg. I know you eat the crumpet. All right, stay with me. This is a speedometer. Tell me if I'm going too fast. This is not rocket science. At least they're admitting it. So then from that, you go from the people who are so far in the tank they can't climb out for Obama, and they're so ideologically driven that it takes something huge to shake them out of it, like a blatant lie, like if you liked your doctor, you can keep them. Some of these people are still trying to cover up for Obama and the NSA. And then you move to Barbara Walters' special that's on, where she's talking to Jennifer Lawrence. And Jennifer Lawrence is just an actress, okay? And I think she's a good actress. I liked her in Silver Linings Playbook. I actually like Hunger Games. I read it with my daughter because she's a teenager. So I like Jennifer Lawrence, okay? But she's joining this group of people that want to shut you up. The mainstream media, the political elite, some celebrities. See, they're tired of you speaking out and don't really think you have the right to your opinions and really want to make some things illegal. Listen to this. We got a cut from Jennifer Lawrence. She was talking about how mean it is for some of these people that do the red carpet talk for big Hollywood events. You know, they come out and they rip into the women and the dresses they're wearing. And I got to tell you, I think it's rude, too. I never watch these people, but I don't watch much TV. So Jennifer Lawrence says there are certain things that just shouldn't be allowed. Let's hear cut eight.
The word fat, I just think it should be illegal to call somebody fat on TV. I mean, if we're regulating cigarettes and sex and cuss words because of the effect it has on our younger generation, why aren't we regulating things like calling people fat?
Again, I thought she was kidding, okay? I thought she was joking. But if you watch this video, she's not kidding. Hey, if we can regulate cigarettes and we can regulate what people eat and we can regulate all this, then why aren't we saying it should be illegal to call somebody fat? Illegal. Have you heard of the First Amendment? Well, no. Illegal. And now, the long knives are coming out for Duck Dynasty, the patriarch, Phil Robertson, because he actually said what he believed on the idea of homosexuality. Wait till you hear that. We'll get to it in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah.
There
and
you
the
go.
Whole Obamacare, or whatever you want to call that, Affordable Health Act, it just hasn't worked for him, and he stumbled around on it.
Yeah, the next Messiah, says Barbara. Wow. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, January the 2nd, Savage is moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Do not miss a second. Go to michaelsavage.com to make sure you know where you can listen when it happens. It's going to be awesome. We're excited about it. So we're talking about Barbara Walters saying that Obama's the next Messiah,
She was just kidding. Really? No, this is what they really think. Not literally, but pretty close. And Jennifer Lawrence, we got to make saying fat on TV illegal to the point that now we've got the Duck Dynasty patriarch, Phil Robertson, because he expressed his biblical belief on homosexuality, he's got to be off the show. And they've already put him on hiatus, suspended. Now, I don't care how you live your life. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're bisexual. I don't care. Live your life. But what I don't understand is the idea that you should be able to shut somebody else up who has a different opinion than you. And they're saying, oh, he slurred gays and he said this and that. I'm going to get into the details of what he said here in a minute because, no, he didn't. But the point is, who are you to shut people up? I thought in America we were supposed to have the right to an opinion. Let me get some of your thoughts in here as well. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me start with Andrew in WABC. Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappen for the Doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's up, Greg?
I want to
talk about Barbara Walters. She was my first ever liberal media bias experience. But real quick, just on the Duck Dynasty guy, he was Christian in his belief, what he said. He has the right to it. Just the way he said it was not necessarily the best way or Christian. But the gay groups are being hypocritical because they're saying they don't want to be discriminated against, yet they could discriminate against other groups.
Yeah, that's a good point. And in fact, a lot of what we're seeing, if you go to the actual GQ magazine piece, he also went on to say, you know, but hey, nobody can judge except God on who's going to heaven. That's not for me. And we just love everybody and spread the gospel to everybody. Yet somehow that makes him a horrible, evil, awful person. I don't think we're getting the full story on that either. All right, let me also get Steven in Oregon. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Fill in and go right ahead.
Yeah, let me also add that I find that offensive as an American to hear that anybody is shutting anybody up over anything, okay? Particularly when I hear TV stars coming out against particular groups. I think Pat Sajak said it best when he stated that our Hollywood elite are the least qualified of any citizen to make any opinion of just about anything.
Amen. Steve, thanks. And, you know, whatever happened to, I disagree with what you're saying, but I will fight to the death your right to say it. Right? Whatever happened to that in America? I thought that's what liberals stood for, just like conservatives. Now, not so much.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. MichaelSavage.com online. And we're talking about Barbara Walters saying, we all thought Obama was going to be the next Messiah. We did? Well, you guys did. And Jennifer Lawrence saying we should make it illegal to say that somebody's fat on TV. To Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson, if you haven't seen this show, it's on A&E, and it's these guys that make duck calls, and it's a family of them. They all have beards. They're everywhere now, all over Walmart, if you ever go in there. It's a funny show. They're all Christian. They make no they don't try to hide it at all. And he was asked about this in GQ trying to make news, and they did, about homosexuality. And what he said about it got the gay community so upset that they put pressure on A&E, and they've already put him on indefinite hiatus, they said. Well, let's hear what he had to say and then get your thoughts. Because, like I said, I don't care if you're gay or not. I could not care less. But I do care about somebody having an opportunity to state their opinion without being shouted down. Okay? So he said he was asked about homosexuality. And they're saying in the news now that it's in God. And Robertson says he was asked what he finds sinful. And he said, well, we start with homosexual behavior and morph out from... He was describing all different types of sexual sin from what I saw. Then he paraphrased Corinthians. Don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers. They won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself. It's not right. But then he went on and said, but only God can judge who goes to heaven. It's not for us. And we love everybody. And we want everybody to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And then he talked about his own problem in the 60s. He was sex, drugs, rock and roll, hit rock bottom, then became a Christian. So, and he said, you know, Jesus Christ died for all of us. What was the latest thing he said in his statement? He said, I would never treat anyone with disrespect just because they're different from me. We are all created by the Almighty and like him. I love all of humanity. We would all be better off if we loved God and loved each other. But for that, Glad says that he is comparing bestiality to homosexuality, that his personal views... oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was what A&E said. The Glad spokespeople said he clearly knows nothing about gay people or the majority of Louisianans and Americans. Phil and his family claim to be Christian, but his lies about an entire community fly in the face of what true Christians believe, and it's all some of the vilest and most extreme statements uttered against LGBT people. His quote was littered with outdated stereotypes and blatant misinformation. Well, he's just giving his opinion and paraphrasing the Bible, and for that you want him to shut up. I don't understand that. Let me get Nate in. Nate, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead. Oh, we lost it. Really wanted to hear him. He said that Robertson was wrong. Okay. Let's talk with Joan, WABC. Joan, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. What I want to say is this. I have gay relatives, and I love them with all my heart. But the fact...
All right. Listen, I don't care if you're gay or not. This is the only thing I wanted to say about it. Here's my thing. I'm tying it into what is going on with Jennifer Lawrence. What's going on Reddit? Reddit is banning people talking about global warming if they're skeptics. Now, if you agree with global warming, then you're allowed in. If you're a skeptic, you're booted out. So here's Phil Robertson just saying what he believes. They want him shut down. This is the beginning of fascism. And I don't care what the topic is. Why do we want to shut people up? Why don't we want to listen to what they say? Al Gore calling you a denier if you don't agree with him on global warming, although he's been proven wrong time and time and time again. What is going on in America when we're doing this? You know, we're already seeing it in other, you know, democracies. In Great Britain, they have these hate speech laws. In Canada, hate speech laws where you can be arrested for saying certain things. In Germany, if you are a Holocaust denier, you can be arrested for that. It is criminal to speak out and say the Holocaust didn't happen. Now, listen, I think it's stupid. I think it's ignorant. I think you're ridiculous if you have that opinion. But is the best way to counteract an opinion that you disagree with to try to ban the speech? Or even, as in the case in Germany, to put the person in jail? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let's see if we can get Lamar in Florida. Lamar, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller to the show, but I've been hearing about this all day from a lot of different angles, and my biggest beef with it is I have friends that are gay. I accept that. That's your choice. I don't understand it. The way he phrased it is he doesn't understand, you know, their desire for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it. I think that covers it. I'm going to move on because I think we've covered it. But the point I really want you to focus on is shutting people up doesn't make sense. It's not the right way to do it. Reddit. The Reddit content editor, Nathan Allen, says, well, you know, after some time interacting with these regular denier posters, it became clear that they could not or would not improve their demeanor. And as a scientist myself, it became clear to me that the contrarians were not capable of providing the science to support their skepticism on climate change. And as moderators are responsible for what millions of people see, we felt that to allow a handful of commenters to so purposefully mislead our audience was simply immoral. So they booted them. Now, wait a second. You mean no scientific evidence to be a skeptic of global warming, like the fact that there's been no warming on the planet in 16 years? You mean like the fact that, you said it would be much warmer now than it was, like the fact that you said that there'd be no ice at all in the North Pole anymore, the fact that we have actually more Arctic ice is growing, Arctic ice sea coverage is up 50%, that the Earth was warmer in Roman medieval times, that Antarctica setting record cold temperatures, that we don't have stronger tornadoes like they told us we would. We haven't had stronger and more hurricanes, regardless of a couple hurricanes they can point to. We've had a slowdown in hurricane. I mean, there's all kinds of stats to show that there is reason to be skeptical, but no, we're just going to shut down debate. See, that's the way we can handle this. We're just going to shut you up. And then you go on to politics. You disagree with what one of the main parties is doing, they're going to shut you up. Look at what Speaker Boehner did about the conservatives. These people, they're misleading their people. They're, you know, and they're making it so that my people won't vote the way they should. Speaker Boehner, you don't have any people, okay? Those are our people in Congress, not yours. Well, I'm the leader. I'm the leadership, and they're supposed to vote the way I say. No, they're supposed to represent the people, not you. But they want to shut you up. Shut you up. Sit down. Shut up. We're smarter than you. We know better than you. We'll tell you what to think. We'll tell you how to vote. We'll tell you what you're allowed to say. Doesn't sound like the America that our founders set up. It doesn't sound like the America that most of us grew up in. It sounds like we're losing an awful lot of freedom here. Doesn't it to you? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And from there, I want to throw out to you what's going on with the illegal alien situation. Because, you know, it is language, borders, culture. And you look at a news story that came out today from Fox News. Exactly like you thought, there was some fraud going on, some funny business in Ohio in the last election. Ohio Secretary of State has announced today that his office found 17 non-citizens illegally casting ballots in the last presidential election. He is referring the case for possible prosecution. But remember, there's no voter fraud. There's no voter fraud. Anybody who wants to actually have a photo ID, you just don't like minorities voting. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Every minority I know has a driver's license. Well, but it's much harder. Really? Last time I was in the DMV, I saw an awful lot of minorities in there getting their driver's license. I should have gone up to say, I don't know why you're here. I mean, you're not going to get a driver's license. I mean, you know, you're black. You can't get a driver's license. Or you're Hispanic. You can't get a driver's license. You know, in every state that has put forward a voter ID law, guess what has happened? The minority vote has increased. Not decreased. Increased. And yet somehow, this is all about trying to shut down the vote. No, this is trying to make sure that it is one person, one vote. This is trying to make sure that your legal vote is not counteracted by an illegal vote. This was a swing state, by the way. Now remember, whether you're here illegally or you're here as a legal immigrant, the only people who are supposed to be able to vote in federal elections, and I would say in every election, but some cities, believe it or not, are letting non-citizens vote, is if you're a U.S. citizen. President Obama beat Romney in Ohio by just 2 percentage points. They're trying to clean up their voting rolls. They discovered 257,000 dead people still listed as active voters. They finally removed them. They also had duplicate registrations. They're cross-checking citizenship. And see, even when you do that, they go, hey, these dead people have just as much right to vote as you. They're dead. Well, how do you know for sure? I'm just, well, because it says so. And then we've got 7 illegal aliens. The Washington Post has a big story on it today where they are brought here as children and they're suing you so they can go to college for in-state tuition. But you're here illegally. Yeah, but I was brought here as a kid. And so, therefore, I should be able to get whatever I want. But what about all the people who are U.S. citizens who, I mean, so you're going to take up a spot from a U.S. citizen or a legal immigrant after you jumped in line and you want a break on your tuition for it? Yeah, I have every right to. And the person they use as the poster child in this, Giancarla Rojas in the Washington Post, she came into the United States when she was 13 years old with her parents and caught on the border and detained, but then eventually released and allowed to go to Northern Virginia. What? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. All right, I got a little bit more on that, on exactly what's going on there. And then the budget deal went through. It went through the Senate. It's finished now, done deal. And they are doing it on the backs of military pensions. Well, you get the details on that one. We'll hit it in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can jump in with me at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And then I'm going to get you into this Senate passing the budget bill that the House had passed. It's the one that supposedly we're going to save $23 billion over 10 years after we increase spending by $68 billion for the next 2 years. Wait, what? Yeah, exactly. Oh, and on the backs of our military veterans, even the disabled ones. Who could be against that plan? I mean, Speaker Boehner told you if you're against that, you're an idiot. So, you know, why are you even questioning it? We'll get to it. Let me get Lamar in first on the whole idea of shutting down speech. Lamar, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. How's it going tonight?
Doing well.
I'm a college student at one of the local colleges here in Virginia, and I have a teacher who is, like, basically saying no to my topics, like global warming as a controversy and how it's fake and the Affordable Care Act, and I'm taking the proper channels and bringing it up to HR and stuff like that, but it's still not getting me anywhere because it's controversial.
When you say he's saying no, what, there was an assignment to what? I don't understand. He's saying no.
It's like a creative writing type class.
Ah. So you want to do a creative writing deal where you're going to show the opposite side of maybe what the mainstream's pushing, and he's just telling you no? What is he saying is the reason?
She's a she, and she says that it offends too many people, and I ask, that's exactly my response. I'm like, who is it offending? Because I have positive research, and it backs my idea, but yet she can't give me any real concrete reasons other than it's offensive.
Right. Lamar, listen, man, I applaud you for even fighting this because your grade is on the line and you know that she's probably not going to grade you well with a writing like that. But you're dead on. This is the thing. We're now saying that a reason to shut you up is that someone might be offended. Well, you know what? I'm offended that you're trying to shut me up.
Exactly.
And the idea that somehow a college campus, the place it's supposed to teach you how to think critically, that's supposed to teach you how to look at all the facts on both sides, filter it down, and then come out with what you think is right, to not just regurgitate back what your professors tell you. Well, all that's gone. When you send your kids to the university now, they are being indoctrinated. And you send your kid away with somebody who has your values and your beliefs, and they come back a mind-numb robot. And yet they'll tell you that we're the ones on talk radio that are trying to just have mind-numb robots. We're the ones that will listen to both sides. We're the ones that will take the calls from the people who disagree. We're the ones who read what the liberals say. We're the ones who do show both sides. And they're the ones trying to shut you up, from the media to the college campus to some of these celebrities, that if you don't agree with them, you shouldn't even have the right to speak. That's America? Man, you got to be kidding. Budget deal. In this budget deal, they're saving $6 billion over 10 years by decreasing the cost of living allowance for our military veterans on their pensions, including military veterans who are disabled. Now, it was wrong of the Republicans to vote yes on that in the House, along with the Democrats. And in the Senate, you had Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican, Alabama, who tried to put forward an amendment that would change that. He said, let's not balance this on the backs of our military veterans. $6 billion, guess what? We give $4.2 billion from the earned income tax credit to illegal aliens. Wait, they're here illegally. How are they getting money? We do it. So let's put an amendment to change that. We'll take the $4.2 million away from the illegal aliens, and we won't do it on the back of the military. You know what? Senate Democrats wouldn't even let that amendment come up for a vote. I blame both parties. I blame the Republicans hard when it was in the House. I'm blaming the Republicans who voted for it in the Senate. I'm blaming the Democrats for not even allowing that tiny little amendment to come forward for a vote. I get Gary in Florida. He wants to talk about that. Gary, I'm in for Dr. Savage here on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
And I appreciate your advocacy for the disabled veterans. And I love your mindset relative to what you're saying as far as the people not fighting for the veterans. Anyway, I'm a disabled veteran myself. I've got a brain injury, and forgive me, I'm a little slow, but I'm trying to keep up with you guys. And
you're doing great.
Brain injury. From a chemical that I was exposed to called trichloroethylene, and it disturbs me. I've actually studied this legislation today, and went into the .gov website and looked into what they're actually advocating relative to the limiting the veterans. What they're doing is they're cutting off the raises that are administratively or
right, cost of living allowance increases. They're cutting those back for people under the age of 62, and they're saying, well, you guys can have another job. Well, first of all, you were promised a certain military retirement and certain cost of living allowances. You guys have actually, most of you, have gone into combat zones now. You risked your lives for us, and we're going to cut it from you. But we're going to get $4.2 billion to illegal aliens through an IRS earned income tax credit? What? What country am I living in? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, January the 2nd, he's moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Check michaelsavage.com. Make sure you're ready for it. Don't miss a minute. It's going to be fantastic. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board the program. So I've got the story up about what's going on with the budget on the backs of the military veterans that passed through the Senate and the House. And I got to get you the story about DNA checkpoints. You know, you got checkpoints for seatbelts, checkpoints for DUI, now the checkpoints for DNA, but don't worry. It's voluntary. We'll get to that in just a minute. Then the government waste. We're talking about the budget. We're supposed to save $23 billion over 10 years for this. One senator found $30 billion in waste in fiscal 2013. Wait till you hear just some of the crazy, crazy examples. And what happens if it snows for the Super Bowl? Outdoor stadium, New York, sound like a good plan? Wait till you hear what they're talking about doing if it snows. It's all coming up this hour on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. So this is a pet peeve of mine. And I know that we've been told by the Supreme Court that driving is a privilege, not a right. And that the police have the right to set up roadblocks for DUI. Now, I don't drink and drive. I just don't believe that the police should have the right to pull me over where I am basically guilty until proven innocent. I thought I was supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But oh, no. We're going to set up a roadblock where you have to prove to me that you haven't been drinking so that then you can drive away. To me, that's guilty until proven innocent. That doesn't make sense to me. Especially when they actual studies show that if you took all the manpower of these roadblocks And instead, you saturation patrols of the police in the areas where they have the heaviest amounts of DUIs, they would catch more DUI drivers. So it starts to make me wonder, why are they really doing it? And I just feel like, listen, I'm supposed to be free to move about this country. I'm supposed to be secure in my person and my effects, and yet they're pulling me over when I have done absolutely nothing wrong. And I have to prove that I'm innocent. And now we've moved on from seatbelt checkpoints, DUI checkpoints, to now DNA checkpoints. It's happened again. It was last month, it was Dallas-Fort Worth. Now it's in Reading, Pennsylvania, where this federal program, $7.9 million, three-year survey by the NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, is working with local police to set up these roadblocks to force you off the road and then to voluntarily ask you for a blood or a DNA sample, a blood or a cheek sample. No, 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 it's not for DNA. It's just to see if you're using drugs or alcohol. But don't worry, even if you voluntarily do this, we're not going to arrest you on the spot for it. And it's voluntary. It's voluntary? Wait a second. You forced me off the road because you had police with their lights on and you were waving me into a parking lot. And if I tried to go around you, I wasn't allowed to. And you're telling me it's voluntary? Well, it's voluntary to give us the blood or the saliva. You know, all right, when I was living in Dallas, right after Emmett Smith left the Dallas Cowboys, their, I think it was their first running back to try to replace Emmett Smith, and nobody could replace Emmett Smith, obviously, was Tyrone Hambrick. Do you remember Tyrone Hambrick? He didn't last long, but he was a great quote. And I remember he didn't show up for one of the voluntary OTAs. You know, there's certain voluntary things under the union contract for the NFL. He didn't show up. And the coach was mad at him, the sports media, they were mad at him, and he couldn't understand it. And he actually said to one of the sports guys, hey, what do voluntary mean? And I think, to quote the inimitable Tyrone Hambrick, what do voluntary mean? I mean, if you're pulled over and there are police officers in uniform and the lights are shining and they force you off the road into a parking lot, what do voluntary mean? And then they come up to you, hey, you know, we'd like to get your blood sample, and we'd like to swab your cheek, please. That's voluntary? There are cops all around. You're pulled off to the side of the road. Now, they do eventually tell you it's voluntary, and they'll even pay you some money for your blood or your cheek swab. But when you have all that authority around you, does it always feel like it's voluntary? It's kind of like what happens sometimes. And they pull people over, and they say, hey, do you mind if I check your car? Do you mind if I search your car? Now, they will tell you that's purely voluntary. You have the right to tell them no. But unfortunately, sometimes when you tell them no, they keep you there. They call for a backup. They call for the drug dog. And now they're going after you with a microscope. Is that voluntary? Now, listen. My first job out of college was a probation and parole officer, felony probation and parole. Worked with police a ton. I think the police have a very difficult job. I love the fact that we have good police officers. Absolutely a necessity in our life. But that doesn't mean anything goes. There are also bad cops. Every walk of life has the good and the bad. And if you give too much power, you're going to get a lot more of the bad. Right? I mean, look, there are bad teachers, there are bad preachers, there are bad doctors, there are bad lawyers, there are bad radio hosts, there are bad everything, and there's good ones. So this is not to slam all police, but I don't believe that any police department should participate in these roadblocks, because they're claiming it's not us, we're just there for site security. That's what the chief said. We're just there for site security. We didn't pull over any drivers. Really, then how did the drivers get pulled over? Because only the police have the authority to pull you over, right? These other guys don't have the authority to. That's why they hired you. Because with your lights flashing, and your police uniform, and your gun on your hip, and you're pointing people in, they believe that they have to pull over. Right? The Reading, Pennsylvania newspaper quoted one of the residents who was pulled over, Ricardo Nieves, and he told the city council, "I feel this incident is a gross abuse of power on many levels." Said he wasn't told what the swab was for. He thought it was for DNA. They're saying no, it was to see if you were on drugs. The checkpoint was supposed to be voluntary. Nieves said he had to refuse several times over a five-minute period before the woman taking the survey finally let him go. That's not voluntary. I mean, if it was truly voluntary, then you should be able to just drive by and go, no thanks. That's voluntary, right? A federal survey with local police violates my rights, says Nieves. The police chief says, oh, no. We were just hired for site security. The survey takers were paying money for answers, not for the swabs. Well, the one in Dallas-Fort Worth said, no, we're going to pay X amount for the blood, X amount for the swab. And the chief down there apologized for it. Because they were asked for breath, saliva, and blood samples. Those who declined were briefly interviewed and then allowed to leave. Well, then, obviously, they weren't. It wasn't totally voluntary. They were still briefly interviewed. Fort Worth Police Chief Jeffrey Halstead said, "We realize this survey caused many of our citizens frustration. We apologize for our participation." But it's going on nationwide. 30 different cities. They think they have the right to do this. The police chief there in Reading, Pennsylvania said, "In the grand scheme of things, I think it's pretty innocuous and a minor issue." Well, you might think that, but people who actually believe in their individual rights don't. What do you think? This is, to me, outrageous. I will not submit to a DNA swab. I will not submit to a blood sample when I have done nothing wrong. I don't even want to have to pull over if I've done nothing wrong. What happened? I mean, what has happened to the men in America who will stand up and say no? No, this is wrong. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Now, some of you also want to chime in on what's going on with this whole budget thing. Like I said, they balanced part of this thing on the back of the military veterans, taking away $6 billion over the next years. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number in front of me of how many years. And yet, they're doing it to these military vets, many of whom have been in combat, many of whom are disabled. And when Jeff Sessions, Republican in Alabama, tried to put an amendment in the Senate to say, hey, let's not do this. We've got $4.2 billion we pay out to illegal aliens through an earned income tax credit, and they shouldn't get a penny. Instead, we're doing this. Let's change this. Senate Democrats wouldn't even allow that amendment to come to a vote. Republicans aren't guiltless here either, but that's amazing that they wouldn't even let that come to a vote. Let me talk to Jeff. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm a veteran myself, and it's a tragedy what they've done to the veterans. But, you know, I have to make a point, and some people may not like what I'm going to say, but what do you expect when you get a government check, okay?
Yeah.
You know, when your economy goes as bad as it's gone, you're a government retiree or whatever, that's a possibility.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Jeff. Here's why I'm upset about it, all right? We just got a waste book out with $30 billion in government wasteful spending for things like studying online romance and for a $300 million Army blimp that we never used and sold back to the contractor for $300,000 and $400,000 to study a duck penis. I'm not even making this stuff up. This is just some of the examples, Jeff, in $30 billion. And they're not doing the same thing to federal civilian pensions. So at some point, you got to say, what is going on?
Well, I 100% agree. And I tell you what, I found something the other day on the internet. It was called the National U.S. and State Debt Clock. And you click.
Oh, yeah.
It shows about 30 little boxes that are just clicking away in there. And I can't get that out of my mind. You can click on per state and find income to debt ratios. And
yeah, it's pretty bad stuff, Jeff. Thanks for getting in. There's no doubt. The debt is out of control. And instead of sticking with the sequester, which would have cut more, they went to this because they say, well, it's the best we can get. It's just the best we can get right now. It's a divided government. But we had the sequester. It doesn't matter. It's just the best we can get right now. But, you know, to Jeff's point about a government check, sure, they lied to you. They lied to you in the military. This is what we told you we were going to get. We lied to you. We're changing it. They can do the same thing with Social Security. Do you understand this? A lot of people think, no, no, no. I paid into Social Security. It's mine. I got my name on it. And they can't change it. Sure they can. The next Congress, if they wanted to, could end Social Security. Now, they're not going to because that's political suicide. But there's, you have no right to the money you paid into in Social Security. Look it up. You have no right to it. They could change it tomorrow. They could change the amount you get. They could change the age. They could change anything they want to on it. You don't have a right to that money just because you paid into it. Period. How's that grab you? I'm going to take more of your phone calls on that for sure in just a minute. And I also want to know what you think about these DNA swabs by the police. Then we'll get into this government waste. I just gave you a few examples. You won't believe some of the stuff your money is being spent on. All that coming up. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hello.
How you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And he's going to be drive time in it January the 2nd. 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Don't miss it. We're talking about this DNA checkpoint. 30 different cities. And the two organizations, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, they're working with the local police. And they're asking you to voluntarily pull over, voluntarily come into this parking lot, voluntarily give us your blood or breath sample or a swab off your cheek just to see if you may have been doing some kind of drugs or alcohol. We're not going to even record who you are, really. Don't even worry about it. Can I go now? Well, let me just ask you a few more questions. Can I go now? Just let me ask you. I thought it was voluntary. Well, and you know, in the Dallas-Fort Worth one, they admitted that when they walked up to the car, they were already sampling the air through their breathalyzer. Like, they have a special one that can do it through the air. Not, you don't have to actually blow into it. They were admitting they did that before they even talked to you, when supposedly it was voluntary. Now, listen, I don't want anybody driving drunk. I don't want anybody driving on drugs. But I also don't want a police state. Let me get Rick in. He is a police officer, and I would love his opinion on this. Rick, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Hey, you know, I participate in these DUI checkpoints quite a bit. I see their value when enforcing DUI. It's a high-visibility way of getting the DUI, you know, anti-DUI point across, right?
True, except I will ask you this, Rick. Have you seen the studies that say saturation patrols catch more drunks than the roadblocks do?
Oh, absolutely. We're huge proponents of saturation. Us as officers don't really want to sit on the side of the roadway and flag people in to see if they're in compliance and not drinking and driving. I get that. But what strikes me is an invasive search by using swab or blood. I mean, it normally takes a search warrant to get that off of somebody, at least here in California.
Right. Well, they're saying it's voluntary, Rick. But my point is it really voluntary when you've been forced off the road? There's cops all around you. A lot of people feel very intimidated by that, and they don't feel like they can say no. They're worried what will happen if I say no.
Right. But that's what worries me, is the fact that it's so invasive, and it's borderline voluntary, like you say. I'm not too crazy about seeing that happen, because it's a big brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick, as a police officer. And that's the problem I have even with the DUI checkpoint is simply this. You're right. It can catch some people, and it does. It does. But, you know, if you go down that slippery slope, you can say, well, you know, we know that there's some drug activity in this area, so we're just going to check everybody's house, and we don't really need a warrant. I mean, you know, because we're trying to do the right thing. Well, that's why we have something like the Fourth Amendment, so it doesn't get out of control, and yet we're trampling upon it. We saw what happened with the court and the NSA just the other day, where they said, yeah, we need to tap the brakes on this a little bit. Thanks for the call, Rick. I really appreciate it. Let me get Zach on. Zach had a DUI checkpoint experience. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Greg. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Yeah, I had a kind of an interesting experience. I went through a checkpoint about 3 months ago, and I'm a competitive shooter, and I had both firearms in my vehicle, and we were actually, a buddy and I coming back from a match.
Gotcha. We got to hurry on this. So what you're saying is basically they went after your firearms and were worried about those when they stopped you for the DUI?
Two and a half.
Got to roll. And I got to get you into this government waste, too. Lots of great calls on it. My name's Greg Knappin for the doctor, Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you into the program. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com. We got a couple things that we have out in the hopper. One is what's going on with this new so-called budget deal. The House approved it. House Republicans pushed it hard there. The Senate Democrats got it done in the Senate with 9 Republicans crossing over to vote with them. And they're doing it in part on the backs of the military veterans' pensions. And, yeah, I got a problem with that. And I got a problem with the fact that we need to stick with the sequester. Our government's out of control. In fact, Gallup, their latest poll, 72% believe big government is our greatest threat. Well, you got to kind of look at the question. Question's a little bit different. It's not just the biggest threat. It says, in your opinion, which of the following will be the biggest threat to the country in the future? Big business, big labor, or big government? Big government's always been on the top. But you go back to the, about 2003 or so, and it was a pretty close race. Now, 72% say big government is the biggest threat. Only 21% say big business, and only 5% say big labor. 72% of Americans say big government is the greatest threat. Absolutely. I mean, it's not even debatable, if you ask me. And then you look at what big government is doing. Did you know that your government spent $630,000 buying Facebook fans? Did you know you could buy Facebook fans? Why would you want to do that? Well, see, it makes it so that more people pay attention and look at what you're posting on Facebook, and then they get $630,000 to buy Facebook fans. The Agriculture Department, $415,000 on fine wines in China. The Department of Defense, they didn't pay any money still to the survivors of terrorist Nadal Hassan at Fort Hood, but they paid him $278,000 before he was found guilty. You know, he's still getting his pay in prison. $684 million to promote healthcare.gov. Not even to build it, to promote it by the time it's all said and done. Wow. How about $15,000 to collect human urine and test it as a hayfield fertilizer? What? We probably could have got the homeless to do that for half. I mean, they got to have a place to go anyway. Could have been a twofer. $5 million for hand-blown crystal stemware for the State Department. By the way, that was just days before the government shutdown. $30 billion in government waste, as Senator Coburn, Republican Oklahoma, has outlined, when we're supposedly saving $23 billion over 10 years. How Hurricane Sandy emergency relief, $65 million. Well, how can you call that waste? I mean, you're really trying to help people. $65 million for emergency relief to pay for advertisements on TV and radio to get people to come back to New Jersey. $566,000. You ready for this? The U.S. Post Office. $566,000, and even though the U.S. Postal Service is a quasi-government entity, they took your money to do this for a futurist. What's a futurist? Someone who imagines the future. Someone who envisions a future where the United States Postal Service starts to make money again. I can envision that future when we don't have text messaging, email, DHL, FedEx, and UPS. Then the post office we'll be making money again. $1.5 million by the FBI to tell Hollywood producers and writers how to portray them in the movies. I mean, that's important stuff. I mean, just on and on. That's your money at work. Almost $1 million to study online romance. That's one you got to hear. I mean, the Popular Romance Project has received almost $1 million. The purpose is to explore the fascinating, often contradictory origins and influences of popular romance as told in novels and films and comics, advice books, songs, and internet fan fiction. Taking a global perspective while looking back across time as far as the ancient Greeks. Almost $1 million since 2010 on that. Taking love and its story seriously wherever they may be found. The popular romance project will spark a lively, thoughtful conversation between fans, authors, scholars, and the general public. Okay, some of the topics discussed that they've researched. The Teen Twilight series about vampires. What? How about the song Call Me Maybe? Remember that one? So call me maybe. Hey, I just met you. This is crazy. Remember that song? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we studied that. We spent money on that song. Bubblegum pop nonsense. This is your money. I could have studied that for you. Okay. 13-year-old girls will like it. Everyone else will hate it. Next. Let me get some of your... absolutely. You know what? I could have saved them a lot of money. They spent over... What is it we're talking about? $300 to $600 million on that website? Man, if you give me that kind of money, I could have made you a website. I'm telling you what. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get Robert on the program. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. It's always nice to hear you when Michael's off for the evening. Hey, it just this police state is just completely out of control, and it's a good thing that we have people like Sheriff Richard Mack, you know, who works with Stuart Rhodes, with Oath Keepers, to try to help, you know, rein some of this law enforcement and get these people back in touch with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights so that we can get things turned around. It's crazy to think that Congress here recently gave themselves a 5% raise, you know, and that's okay, but let's take money away from our veterans that have been injured in war. It's just absolutely disgusting. Thank God to Jeff Sessions for at least stepping up to the plate and trying to make something happen, you know, in this disgusting bill, but it's just a good example of how out of control and how out of touch with reality that 99% of our politicians are.
Thanks, Robert. And, of course, if you speak up against it, Speaker Boehner tells you that you're the one who needs to be quiet. You just don't understand. This is the best we could get. I mean, there's really nothing else we can do. Sure, of course, we're going to cut into the military retirees' pensions, including the disabled. But, you know, listen, you can't always get what you want. Let's hear Senator Angus King. Clip two here, trying to explain that, you know, you got to take what you can get.
My favorite philosopher, Mick Jagger, said you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And what we need right now is a budget. It's something that we can work from that gives us some certainty.
So we got a $17 trillion debt, and we got a Rolling Stones song. Great. Perfect. Let me talk about this DNA checkpoint that's gotten everybody up in arms here. 30 different cities that are participating in this where they say voluntarily we're asking for your cheek swab and your blood and maybe a breathalyzer. But it's voluntary. Don't worry about it. Let me get Mike in on that. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm a 20-year veteran myself, just retired military police.
Thank you.
And, well, thank you. it's amazing what happened to this country over the last 20 years. I've spent most of it out of the country and come back and I hear this going on. You're right. There's nothing voluntary about it. If you feel like you are being detained, not arrested, just detained where you cannot leave, and you have no PC, which is probable cause, then you are breaking the law, my friend.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Thanks for getting in. You know, I had this, I was making a documentary in D.C. on wasteful government spending. And I had just, we'd just done kind of an ambush interview on one of the congressmen, and evidently he didn't like it. So I was out on the front steps of the building with the film crew, and a bunch of police showed up. And they started questioning us and asking us stuff, and I'm like, hey, we haven't done anything wrong. So I said to the police officer, am I under arrest? And he didn't answer me. I asked him again, excuse me, sir, but am I under arrest? And when he didn't answer me the second time, I walked away. Because if I'm not under arrest, I have the right to go. I didn't do anything wrong. I have not violated any law. And for you to just detain me because some congressman said they didn't like the fact that I asked them a question? This is how, thank God I had a police officer that knew the law and wasn't going to overreact based on what a congressman said. Let me get Adele in. Adele, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mr. Knapp. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm a 64-year-old female, and I was stopped. I was detained, and he made me get out of the car. I'm small built. I'm like 5 feet tall. He made me put my hands behind my head, and he was frisking me, and he said that I looked like I was drunk and like a drug addict. And I just kind of like, I said, well, I don't smoke and I don't drink. And he went and got the other officer, and they agreed to handcuff me. So they handcuffed me. I've never been arrested in my whole life.
And they didn't say why, just because you looked like that?
I was...
Just because of how you looked.
Well, Adele, I
appreciate your story. I can't get too bogged down into individual stories like that because we're trying to keep it broad. But, yeah, I mean... Look, like I said, I want to make sure that everybody listening knows I am not saying all police officers are bad people. And I don't think Adele was saying that either. I think the vast majority of police officers want to keep you safe and want to follow the law. But unfortunately, a lot of them are being told to do things that even they're starting to question. And some of the ones that, you know, really maybe shouldn't be police officers don't have any problem with it whatsoever. But these checkpoints, I believe, to me, totally unconstitutional. We'll see. But see, it's voluntary. So they found ways to get around it. I don't think that's how it should be done. Appreciate all the great calls. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. I got to tell you what might happen at the Super Bowl if it snows. Remember, it's outside in New York this year. We'll get the details on that for you in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp, and for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My favorite philosopher, Mick Jagger, said you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And what we need right now is a budget.
No, you know what we need is to quit spending so much freaking money, $17 billion in debt. We need to stop spending as much as we possibly can. We need to cut regulation. We need to cut taxes. We need to get the government out of our lives. We need to let people just live. Live and let live. That's what we need. You know what I need? I'll tell you what. I started thinking about what government. I need to buy whatever kind of light bulb I want to buy. See, they're phasing out some more light bulbs, January 1. I need to buy whatever kind of shower head I want so I can have a nice, hot, big-time shower again. I need to have a toilet that I can flush just once to take care of all the business. That's the stuff I need that the government took away from me because they know best what I need to have in my own home. Yeah, it's great. Can't always get what you want. Maybe we should start saying that to the politicians. You can't always get what you want. You wanted our vote? Time to hear the Rolling Stones song. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com. You know, the Super Bowl is going to be in New York this year, right? New York built the big stadium. They get a new Super Bowl. So what about the snow? You know, I mean, it gets kind of cold in New York in February. What about if there's a big snowstorm? Well, NFL says we thought about that. I mean, we're going to have dozens of trucks and snowplows and salters and front-end loaders all ready to go. We're going to have 1,600 workers on site for the game, double the workforce for a normal Giants or Jets game. We're going to be ready to go. Don't you worry. Yeah, but what if it's like a really severe storm? Well, then we might reschedule. Reschedule the Super Bowl? Are you kidding? The logistical nightmare that would be of rescheduling the Super Bowl and everybody who's flown in to see it and all the bigwigs, hoity-toity crowd, the wine and cheesers, and everybody else, and all of the TV scheduling that's been set up and the advertisement that's been sold. And are you kidding? Move the Super Bowl. Could you imagine? I'm almost now praying for an extreme weather event in New York. I just want to see what will happen. That would be crazy. And here's the other reason. They said that they might move it like a day earlier to avoid a storm. Let's say a big storm was due to come in Sunday. They might do the Super Bowl on Saturday. I think every Super Bowl should be on Saturday. I don't understand the Sunday. NFL games are on Sunday. Well, not always. I mean, as we get to the playoffs, remember, we have weekends where they're on Saturday and Sunday. So what? The Super Bowl should be on Saturday because Sunday is the day the smallest number of Americans actually go to work. Sunday. Now, obviously, there are always people who work no matter what day of the week. But Sunday is where the fewest number of people work. And that means you could sleep in on Sunday after you had the hangover from the Saturday Super Bowl game. I mean, why in the world do we do this on Sunday when we know most people have to go to work the next day? Most people are going to be dead dog tired, especially on the East Coast, and yet we do it again. So I'm praying for an extreme weather event now. How about you? I think it would be great. But they say they may even push it to that Monday or Tuesday after the Super Bowl Sunday. Could you imagine that if it's on a Monday or a Tuesday? Come on, you can't do that. No. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get Bruce on the phone because he's talking about how these checkpoints by the police are getting a little out of control, from DUI to seatbelt to the whole voluntary blood and cheek swab. Bruce, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Greg, I know you're okay because everybody else asks you that, so I won't ask you that same question. I'm somewhat interested in politics. I go to township council meetings, and I don't want my taxpayer money being used by township employees to buy drugs. So I said to the township council, I said, I'd like you to do drug tests on all the township employees to find out if anybody's on drugs. And then if they are, you know, fire them. And the township council president, who is a lawyer, said to me, well, we can't do that. We have to have probable cause. Now, we can do random tests once in a while, but we cannot test everybody. So, you take that, he says it's a violation of New Jersey state law. Now, you take that and you overlay it on what you're saying. If they can't test the township employees because it's a violation of state law, it sure sounds like it's a violation of state law to do what you're suggesting is being done on the highway.
Yeah, well, here's what they'll say, Bruce, and thanks for the call. They'll say, well, like you said, we're doing random sampling on the streets, and it's voluntary. We're not forcing anybody to, and that's different. And but no, I agree with you. It's really not. And here's the other thing. If most of us, when we go to get a job now, what happens? We get drug tested. Well, then why don't we test the politicians when they come to us for a job? Which is what they're doing. They're coming to us and asking for us to hire them. So when we hire, why shouldn't we drug test them? Same thing for why I believe that we should drug test welfare recipients. Because they're coming to us for our money, then we should be able to make sure that they're not on drugs. Now, some places are doing that now, but others who try to do, other states that are trying to push that, well, how dare you? You're trying to hurt the poor. You're assuming that they're all on drugs. Now, wait a second. Why is it that when a private company drug tests all the new applicants, they're not called all kinds of names for assuming that anybody who wants a job is on drugs? Because they're trying to make sure that their workplace doesn't have a bunch of druggies and that the people who are coming on board aren't on drugs. Well, it makes sense. And you have, it's voluntary. If you don't want to work there, you don't have to take the drug test. But if we do it for welfare recipients, somehow that's wrong. And if we do it for politicians, somehow that's wrong. Sounds like a little bit of a double standard there, doesn't it? Well, but most of the people don't test positive anyway. And it's just punishment. And you're just trying to scare people. No, wait a second. If you really want to help people, don't you want to get them off the drugs? I mean, if one of the reasons for somebody actually being on welfare is they can't hold a job because they have a drug dependency, don't you want to find that out? Because all these states that have laws where they drug test a welfare recipient, what happens? If they test positive, they get them into a drug rehab program to get them off the drugs so that they then can move on with their life, get a job, and have some dignity in their life and take care of themselves and start moving up the economic ladder of life. How in the world is that punishment? Doesn't make any sense. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. MichaelSavage.com, a lot of the stories we talk about are up there. And you can check out that on January the 2nd, Dr. Savage will be moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Do not miss a second. Got a lot to get to this hour. Wait till you hear what Barbara Walters said we all thought Obama was going to be. Got the audio on that. Jennifer Lawrence, the big actress from The Hunger Games, Silver Linings Playbook, she said something interesting on the Barbara Walters special. And there's a new study out. What do you think? Is it better to be happy or to be right? Or can you be both? Or can being one make you not be the other? Oh, we'll get into all the details of that. And then I've got some interesting new connections in the shooting at the Colorado school last week. You know, there's something that all the shooters, almost every single one of the shooters of the last year, these mass shootings, have in common. And it's something the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about. All that coming up this hour. The Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on. 855-400-SAVAGE. So, Barbara Walters, getting ready for a huge special that's on. She was on Piers Morgan on Tuesday night. Piers Morgan Live, which nobody watches, but we were able to see it on the internet. So Piers Morgan is talking to her about her special, why isn't Obama one of your most fascinating people? Well, I had him on last year. But isn't he still fascinating? I guess fascinating like a train wreck. But she said, oh, well, you see, I had him on before and everything. So then they go into how his numbers are going down. And if you look at the numbers, they are going down. I got this one from the Pew people. Liberal support for Obama at an all-time low, worse than George W. Bush had with conservatives. Only 54% of liberal Democrats strongly approve of Obama. Bush had 65% of conservatives at the time. Fox News poll, 67% say delay Obamacare. 53% would vote to repeal it now. Obama's current approval rating is the worst since Nixon, Reuters reporting. I mean, you know, on and on you go. So what about that? Here's the question. Cut three is Barbara Walters, but here's the question. Piers Morgan, you've interviewed every president in my lifetime. Why is Obama facing so much opposition now? Why is he struggling so much to really fulfill the great flame of ambition and excitement that he was elected on originally in 2009? Here's what Barbara said.
He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah. And the whole Obamacare, or whatever you want to call that, Affordable Health Act, it just hasn't worked for him, and he stumbled around on it.
Okay, wait. Play the beginning again to the Messiah part. Let me hear that again.
He made so many promises. We thought that he was going to be, I shouldn't say this at Christmas time, but the next Messiah.
Okay, there you go. Well, she shouldn't say it at Christmas time, but I will. The next Messiah. I always love when people say, I shouldn't say this, and then they say it. All right, well, either say it or don't say it. Stop. But I thought, when I saw the headline, that she was kidding. I mean, surely she's joking. Not really a Messiah. People didn't think Obama was going to be the Messiah. I mean, I know other people in the media have written about it, but everybody always says, we don't really mean it. We're just saying it. Well, see, I don't understand that. Where I come from, when you say it, you mean it. Well, I mean, it was just a little bit of a joke. Couldn't you tell? Well, I looked really close. Barbara Walters wasn't smiling. She wasn't laughing. There was nothing that could make me think that it was a joke. Now, I will say that obviously Barbara Walters couldn't be crazy enough to think President Obama was the real Messiah. Just like I think people are crazy when they say he's the Antichrist. They don't really mean it, right? But I think when she said, we thought he was going to be the next Messiah, that she's only slightly joking. I think the people she hangs out with in the mainstream media, they really did see this guy as their savior. A lot of them don't really believe in a real savior and a real Messiah. This is the closest they're ever going to get to. There's a lot of atheism in the mainstream media. But it is interesting that so many in the media have used this word. I don't think they really mean he's the Son of God. But they do believe he's the closest thing they're going to see. That's what they wanted from him. They projected everything that they wanted for this country along the lines of socialized democracy or socialism on this man, and hoped and dreamed that he would be the one to bring it to fruition. That's what they had. This is going to be, remember, he was given the big speech with the Roman columns, and this is the time. This is the time when the levels of the ocean began to go down. Remember, I mean, this was everything you could imagine from the one. And it hasn't worked out that way. I don't know. It's Bush's fault. And it's all those other evil Republicans that haven't let it go. We had such high hopes. I can't play some Barbara Walters. Cut four. I can't go on. Don't leave me crying. Barbara Walters, cut four, please. Oh, you're enjoying this, aren't you?
People feel very disappointed because they expected more. It's very difficult when the expectations for you are very high. You're almost better off when they're low, and then they rise and rise. His were very high, and they've dropped. But, you know, he still has several years to go.
Yeah. It was the problem with high expectations. If we could just lower the expectations, then he'd rise up. My daughter tried that with me before, but she came home with a substandard grade for the nap house. But, Dad, you know, if you would just assume that I'm always going to get C's, you'd be happy with this grade. She's learning. I'll give her that. That's good. I said, no, it doesn't work. Who are you, Barbara Walters? No. We expect your best effort. And I know this isn't your best effort. So, no, it's just all about expectations. No, Barbara, the reason the people who have never figured out President Obama are finally turning on him in these polls is because they're looking at what he's done. They're realizing that he's just incompetent, as we told you he would be. People like me and Dr. Savage and others, and you knew this, if you looked at his history, what had the man ever done? Really, truly, in terms of success? Nothing. He never started a business. He never run a business. He was never some accomplished scholar. He was never an accomplished lawyer. He was a community agitator. His books told you that he purposefully hung out with Marxists and socialists, that he sought them out at college. I mean, if you really read his own books and didn't just buy them to support his campaign, then you would have said, how did this guy become president? And then you look at what he's done. You look at the economy. You look at Obamacare. You look at him going around Congress and power grabs with his illegal alien executive orders, creating his own Dream Act when the Congress wouldn't do it. Waivers on Obamacare laws and rewriting it without going through Congress. It's constitutionally illegal. Citing recess appointments when the Senate wasn't even in recess. He's losing that in court. He's losing the illegal alien case in court to the ICE workers. He didn't defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court, which was legally his responsibility to do. He's had his federal prosecutors, they've been ordered by his attorney general to not put forward all the evidence in federal drug cases to try to decrease the minimum mandatory cases. Well, guess what? That's illegal. You throw in Fast and Furious and Benghazi and IRS and NSA and all the lies he's told you, and no, it's because of the expectations. That was all. Just the expectations. This is how the mainstream media thinks. They're all in the same culture. They're all in the same bubble. They all went to the same schools. They all hang out with each other at the same cocktail parties. They work in the same environment. Their news bureaus have been liberal for decades. And do you expect anything different? That's who they are. Meanwhile, on the Barbara Walters special, another one that I thought was joking. Got to throw this to you. Jennifer Lawrence. She is the hot it girl in Hollywood right now. The Hunger Games. Silver Linings Playbook. She's coming out with a new movie, American Hustle, I think it's called. And she was on with Barbara Walters, and she was complaining about how these mean people on TV pick on Hollywood celebrities and, you know, talk about their outfit and talk about their weight and talk about what they look, and they're just mean, and really it shouldn't even be allowed. It should be illegal. Cut eight.
The word fat, I just think it should be illegal to call somebody fat on TV. I mean, if we're regulating cigarettes and sex and cuss words because of the effect it has on our younger generation, why aren't we regulating things like calling people fat?
Yeah. How dare we? How dare we not regulate that? Of course, I would say let's regulate all the other stuff less. That's because I believe the government should get out of my life and leave it up to the parents and leave it up to... But, you know, hey, what? Why should we be able to call people fat? And you know what? You look at her reasoning and she's got a point. We regulate so much stuff, where does it stop? Now, she doesn't want it to stop. She wants it to keep getting bigger and bigger, and she wants more and more words to become illegal. Remember George Carlin's list of things you couldn't say on the air? It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger, and it gets bigger depending on group dynamics. If one group complains enough, you can't say the word. All kinds of words you can't say. You know, unless you make fun of a white male, then it's okay. You can call them whatever you want to. But most of the other groups, there's all kinds of words you can't say. So we're just going to shut people up, make it illegal. Don't we have a First Amendment that says, well, First Amendment, but wait a second. She said that you just shouldn't be able to call somebody fat on TV now, or at school, or at work, or on the street, or, I mean, really, where does it stop? 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get John in. John, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead. Hey, John. John. All right, no problem. This is one I want to start to get into. I'm going to get you this story about, is it better to be right or be happy, in just a minute, okay? The deal is this. There's a lot of people who will tell you it's much more important in life to be happy. And if you quit caring so much about whether you're right, you'd be a lot happier. And you know what? To some extent, I agree with that. To some extent, I agree with that. I mean, if you're going to be argumentative all the time and you're always, you have to be right no matter what, instead of letting little things go, then you're not going to be happy. But what if you have to swallow what you know is right time after time after time? Does that make you happy? Wait till you hear how they did this study and what they found out. Oh, by the way, it was done with married couples. Oh, boy. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you're in. And so we got Jennifer Lawrence telling us that you shouldn't be allowed to say fat on TV. You know, let's hear Jennifer Lawrence one more time. Here she is on Barbara Walters.
The word fat, I just think it should be illegal to call somebody fat on TV. I mean, if we're regulating cigarettes and sex and cuss words because of the effect it has on our younger generation, why aren't we regulating things like calling people fat?
She's serious. She's not kidding. She thinks you should not be allowed to call somebody fat. It should be illegal. Chet! You're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hello, Greg. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
All right. I just found it kind of ironic. My younger daughter, she's 27, she turned me on to going to see the Hunger Games movies, which I thought were, you know, quite realistic to the New World Order. But then I look back in time, and I'm listening to the young actress speaking, and I'm listening to a Barbara Walters, who I've seen from back in the day. You know, I'm a little bit older, and... they're both on the same page where nobody can say anything about anyone, anytime, but once they're on TV, they can do anything at any time that they want to, if you're following me. Where,
yeah, in other words, what you're saying is here's this Hollywood actress telling you that we should be regulating what we can say, and yet she can do whatever she wants to. When you're in Hollywood, there is no reality. You get to do whatever you want to. You can get wasted all the time on drugs. You never get arrested. In your movies, you can kill a million people. You can drop the N-word everywhere. You can do all kinds of drugs, and you can have all kinds of sex scenes, and there's no problem with any of that. Everything's fine. You can make fun of everybody you want to in the movie. But you shouldn't be able to say fat on TV. Hey. That's a great point, Chet. Great point. Thanks for getting in. Scott in El Paso wants to chime in on it as well. Scott, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, and for Michael Savage, go right ahead.
I think two things. I think one, you know, the actress has obviously some, she has her way of thinking as far as, you know, this is her way to stand up for a cause, and maybe, you know, recently she had somebody call somebody fat, and she's not fat, so she wanted to take up for somebody. I think that's good. But, you know, as far as the regulations go on media, it just seems like just recently, you know, even with this guy that just got fired from the Duck Dynasty show, I mean, he was just sharing his opinion, you know, and being his personal self, and he gets canned. And you have, like you said, a media, you know, Hollywood wants to put out whatever they want to, and pushing the envelope is what makes the money. Whether it be,
yeah.
You know,
it's a good point. It's a good point. Thanks, Scott. You're right. Absolutely. They get to do whatever they want to, and then they tell you to shut up. Absolutely. And from Jennifer Lawrence to, like you mentioned, the Duck Dynasty guy to Reddit, the website there, they're banning everybody who has a contrary opinion to the whole global warming frenzy. I mean, we're just shutting people up. Shutting people up right and left. Would you rather be happy or right? Can I be both? No! Well, there's a new study out, and they did an experiment. It's out of the LA Times. It was a husband and wife deal. The husband was instructed to agree with his wife's every opinion and request without complaint, and to continue doing so even if he believed that she was wrong. It's a British medical journal. A trio of doctors were testing this theory. What they thought was pride, stubbornness, that gets in the way of good mental health. They found people in their own practices with unnecessarily stressful lives because they wanted to be right instead of being happy. So they set up this experiment. I'm going to tell you what happened between the husband and the wife. It may not go down quite the way you think. It's coming up. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to get you into this study on whether it's better to be right or happy, or could you be both, in just a second. But we were talking about how Jennifer Lawrence said it should be illegal to call somebody fat. And Maria wanted to jump in on that. Maria, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp filling in. Go right ahead.
Huh? Yes.
You're on the air, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Hello. I'm calling because I strongly believe that you shouldn't call anyone anything. If you don't want to be criticized, don't criticize back. You know, like the Bible says, I mean, it says, don't do others what others, what you don't want others to do unto you.
Actually, yes, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself is the way Jesus put it. Absolutely. Maria, I'm certainly not suggesting that it's a nice thing to do. The question, though, is should it be illegal? I mean, the reason we have the First Amendment, remember, Maria, is to protect people's rights to say things that other people will find offensive. Otherwise, you don't need the First Amendment. The whole point of it is so that we can have free speech that others might not like. So the idea to make that illegal is another leap. So I agree with you that it's not nice, but are you saying it should be illegal?
Illegal not to say that they're fat?
Right. Should it be illegal to say that?
Well, it depends on the situation. I don't know. When I get criticized because I gain weight, I don't know what happened. A lot of people tell me what happened. You weren't like this and all that. And I go, what is wrong with you? You know.
But Maria, you're missing the point. Should it be illegal? Should those people be? What should happen to somebody who calls you fat? You're telling me they don't have the right to call you fat? I'm not saying it's nice, but they have the right to call you whatever name they want to. I mean, it's America.
No, I think there's a point to a limit to everything, and I think that it should be illegal. You know why? because you are offending someone that maybe is having thyroid problems. And
so what? Maria, you don't have the right not to be offended. Where do you think you get the right to tell me or anyone else that they have to shut up because you're offended? How do you get that right?
Okay, but if I okay, let's say, for example, I ask you for an opinion. Do you think I've gained weight? Do you think I'm a fat? Then it's okay. But if
Maria, you're missing the point. Yeah, I don't, and I don't know how I'm ever going to get this through to you. I'm agreeing with you that it's rude. I'm agreeing with you it's not nice. I'm agreeing with you it would be a nice world if everybody really truly would live to love your neighbor as yourself. I agree. But that's not reality, and you don't have the right to have somebody arrested because you don't like it. Now, you can stand up and say, hey, I don't appreciate you calling me fat, and I would like you to stop doing that. You can leave. You can get the person out of your house. You can turn off the radio. You can turn off the TV. You don't have to watch that movie. There's all kinds of ways you can deal with that, but to tell me that it should be illegal to the point that men with guns should be able to come take me away because that's what it means when it's illegal, then you're crazy.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You're right. It's ridiculous. But I tell you one thing. Look what happened to Paula Deen. Just for saying that she and I like that woman. I don't see nothing wrong with that woman. Look what they put her through. Just for saying the word nigger.
You can't say on the radio. And we're trying to expand them. Thanks for the call, Maria. I appreciate you getting in. But, you know, it's just a little crazy. I appreciate the call. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. All right, now let me get you this story. Happiness or being right. So what they did was they had a husband and wife. They told the husband, always agree with the wife. Every opinion, every request, don't complain. Even if you believe she's wrong, just do it. Because they had noticed that some of their patients were so worried about being right that they weren't happy. So they rated them. They said, tell us how good your quality of life is on a scale of 1 to 10, all right? 10's the happiest right now at the beginning of the experiment. And then they kept asking them every day. Well, on day 6, it got so bad. I'm sorry, day 12. Day 12, it got so bad, the husband said, I can't take it anymore. Day 12, the husband could not take it anymore, telling the wife she was always right and always doing what she asked without complaint. He could not take it anymore. His wife had become increasingly critical of everything he did. So, he told her what was going on. Now, over the 12 days of the experiment, his quality of life plummeted. When he started the experiment, he said his life was about a 7 out of 10. On day 12, it was a 3. Now, here's the other interesting thing. His wife, at the beginning of the experiment, said her quality of life was about an 8, and by day 12, it was only 8.5. She'd only gone up to an 8.5, and he had sunk to a 3. Here's what the doctors think. It seems that being right is a cause of happiness, and agreeing with what one disagrees with is a cause of unhappiness. Yeah, see, it's one thing. I think we're looking at a couple different things here, and you tell me what you think. But I think you can go overboard having to be right about every little thing, nitpicking everything to the point that you make everybody miserable, including yourself. And you need to let some things go. And you need to just realize that's not a big deal. But on the other hand, if you're swallowing everything you believe, if you're not standing up for what you believe in, if you're letting other people walk over you and you just have to accept what everybody else is telling you as that they're right and you're always wrong, you're not going to be happy then either. There has to be some balance there, right? Mr. Miyagi, balance, Grasshopper. So now they're trying to see, they think what might have happened, they want to see if the same thing would happen if it's the male who's always right and the wife's told to agree. Well, you know what they found out? This is the part I agree with, too. They said the availability of unbridled power adversely affects the quality of life of those on the receiving end, too. In other words, if, and I've had this happen, have you ever had that girlfriend that, you know, she was nice, she was pretty, but, you know, she just didn't really have any of her own opinions and was really just basically doing anything I suggested. That got boring really quick, and it actually got kind of annoying, and you actually couldn't even figure out why, but you just were tired of this person, and the person made you agitated and irritated. there's got to be a balance in this. Every relationship has a balance in every part of that relationship. And if it's too far in one direction or the other, it's not going to work. Let me get Tanya in Boston. Tanya, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
So did they do the study the other way where the men agreed with the women all day long?
No, they're working on that. This is a couple doctors in New Zealand. It's the British Medical Journal. That's what they said. They said, we need to see whether our results would hold if it's the male who's always right. To which I would say, man, all you got to do is study any marriage. It's already that way. I wanted to see what you'd say to that, Tanya.
I thought the whole study is completely flawed, because to only do it one-sided is ridiculous, because men and women are different. And, you know, it says in the Bible that men are supposed to, you know, love their wives like Christ did for the church, which is
right,
built up for them, and that woman is supposed to submit, which I think the word submit is really more the word respect in the way that we understand it now.
Yes.
And the thing is that men need to be respected more than they need to be loved, and women need to be loved more than they need to be respected. When you're creating a scientific supposed hypothesis that happiness and rightness are somehow connected, I think they're missing the point, because the whole point is you want to have an authentic relationship. And if somebody is just a group.
There you go. I think that's a big one, Tanya, is the authenticity of the relationship. I do think there's a tie between being right and being happy, but I think there's a balance in it. And I'd also like to see, is it different if it's a boss-employee relationship? Is it different if it's two guys who are friends and two women who are friends, or a man and a woman friendship instead of a, you know, platonic relationship instead of a romantic one? There's a million things you can look at that way. But, Tanya, thank you. I appreciate you getting in on that. I think it's a good point. There's one other thing I wanted to get to tonight before we run out of time, and it's some details coming out in this Colorado school shooter. Remember last week? Well, we've got some new stuff now. They say we knew that he had a pump-action shotgun that he bought legally. Well, now they're saying that he had 125 rounds of ammunition for his shotgun. He had three incendiary devices, Molotov cocktails. And it looks like what he wrote on his arms were indicating numerous rooms and targets he would have had throughout the school. He wrote a Latin phrase meaning the die has been cast on his forearm. So there's a lot of things from this that haven't really been reported very well. And it's because they don't fit well in the mainstream media agenda for guns. Number one, it was a legal pump-action shotgun. Isn't that the one Joe Biden told you to get for self-defense? Well, kind of. He was talking about the double barrel, but close enough. So this is not a semi-automatic assault rifle. This is a pump-action shotgun. It's supposed to be the good gun. Right? Uh-oh, we can't talk about that one. And Molotov cocktails, which you can make from legal stuff around your house. And he was going to kill a lot of people, but it only lasted 80 seconds. You know why? This hasn't been reported very widely either. The sheriff said what happened. Arapahoe County Sheriff Grayson Robinson said, we know for a fact the shooter knew that the school deputy, armed school resource officer, we know for a fact the shooter knew the deputy was in the immediate area. And while the deputy was containing the shooter took his own life. So what happened was, within 80 seconds, a good guy with a gun ran to where the bad guy with the gun was. The bad guy realized it, and the bad guy killed himself. But remember, it's crazy to suggest that maybe we let some teachers be trained to carry a concealed firearm and be there as the last line of defense to protect your children. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. But look what happened with that armed deputy. Not every school has an armed deputy. Then we move to one more little piece of this. Bradford Wilcox wrote a piece in National Review Online. Now, he was raised by a single mom. He's a senior fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. And he said, you know what? There's a link here Over the last year, the list of U.S. school attacks in Wikipedia for the last year, nearly every single one of them involves a young man whose parents are divorced or never even married in the first place. Are you trying to say that if you're a single mom, you're raising some kind of serial homicidal maniac? No, of course. And it's even, Brad Wilcox puts in it, most boys grow up in a home without a father, turn out okay. They figure it out. But the research is in that the risk of violence goes up significantly when there's no dad in the home. I talked about the one at Sandy Hook, son of a divorce. Talk about the one here in Colorado. Same thing. Homes marked by divorce and an absent father. The Sharnaya brothers, same thing. The one at University of Central Florida. The one at Discovery Learning Academy in Decatur, Georgia. Nearly every one, either divorced family or one whose parents were never, ever married. The evidence. Boys living in single mother homes almost twice as likely to end up delinquent compared to boys who have a good relationship with their dad. Harvard sociologist Robert Sampson, quote, family structure is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, predictor of variations in urban violence across cities in the United States. Then there's criminologist Michael Gottfriedson. Such family measures as the percentage of the population divorced, percentage of households set up by women, percentage of unattached individuals in the community are among the most powerful predictors of crime rates. Why? It's pretty easy. They're role models for their kids. They help them with authority and with discipline and teach them how they're supposed to act, how to have self-control, how to have empathy. All the kind of stuff that if you don't have, it's going to be big problems. But we can't talk about that one. They don't want to talk about that one. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you in 855-400-SAVAGE. Facebook knows a lot more about you than you think. And wait till you hear about one tourist who was paying close attention to her Facebook posting. We'll get to that in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, January the 2nd, Savage will be moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, and you can go to michaelsavage.com as well. Couple things out there for you. Delta Airlines has said we're not going to allow you to make voice calls from your cell phone on our planes. Federal rules prohibiting the voice calls right now, but when they're saying they might, Delta said we're not going to do it. I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting. How many of these airlines are going to say yes and how many are going to say no to it? Because I think there's going to be a significant number of travelers who want to be on the plane where they don't allow it. I don't want to be on a plane where half the plane is talking on its cell phone. I gladly turn off my cell phone when I'm flying because I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to read a book. I want to close my eyes. I want to go to sleep. And no, I don't want to talk to the person sitting next to me unless it's my wife. Okay? I just leave me alone for a minute. Is that wrong? Does that make me rude? Meanwhile, Facebook says we can tell what you're typing before you even post it. We kind of monitor that. What? Well, we don't anymore, but we did for a while. We were doing this little study, and if you type more than 5 characters in your Facebook post, we could tell, and we were tracking it, and then we would see if you would censor yourself or whether you'd really post it or not. It was just a little study we were doing. But we don't do it anymore, so don't worry about it. And it was anonymous, and we didn't really read everything you wrote anyway. So. But you knew you could do that? Yeah. You won't believe some of the stuff we can do. That is part of our policy. What policy? It was part of our data policy. You agreed to it when you agreed to have a Facebook posting. Yeah, come on. I don't know why you're so upset. Well, I take you to Melbourne where a tourist fell into the bay off the pier because she was surfing the web on her phone and checking her Facebook post. I wonder if she posted what she was typing or if she self-censored herself. They found her floating in the bay on her back holding up her phone. Well, you know, at least she tried to keep her phone dry. Important things you got to take care of. But what is wrong with us? You're on a beautiful pier on a bay, beautiful weather outside. You're staring at your phone until you walk off the pier. There's something wrong here. Something really, really wrong. Let me get your thoughts on all the stuff we've been talking about. The whole idea of Jennifer Lawrence said we should make it illegal to call people fat. Joe wants to chime in on that one. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Doing well.
I think that it's a very stupid idea because they're going to come up with other words. If you can't say fat, you're going to say something. Remember back communists, they said you can't call someone communist. Now they're pinko or com simp. They'll invent words that you can't. I mean, it's like...
Sure, you can't call them liberal, now they're progressive.
Yeah, well, I call them all psycho, but, you know, you can't, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right, Joe. It's there's always going to be a word that makes up for it. Thanks for the call. The whole point is... The idea that we're going to make certain words illegal, that we're going to make certain opinions illegal, that we're going to make certain ideas illegal, the whole reason that, by the way, our belief is that you are endowed by your Creator with certain inalienable rights, and the Bill of Rights in the Constitution isn't to give you those rights, it's to protect those rights. And one of those rights is free speech. Not just for speech you agree with. And in fact, just the opposite. That's why you need the First Amendment, to protect the speech that others don't agree with or find offensive. And we're losing it all to be politically correct. My name is Greg Knapp. Thanks for letting me sit in for the doctor, the Savage Nation.